And it said here in the portion, and I'm going to read one other place that it said, because it's probably my favorite book, 1 Peter. So 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. Instead, just like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself also in everything you do. For it is written, Keshodim you shall be, for I am Kadesh. Holy you shall be, for I am holy. It's important. It's so important that this Torah portion and the Haftorah portion, I love the way it matches up. You know, sometimes you can't always see the link between the two. But here, it's right there. God says, be holy, for I am holy. And then our Torah portion gives a direct result if you don't. If you're not holy, if you don't live right, especially as a land. So we're going to go into Amos 9, 7 through 15. We're going to touch into Amos because it's such a powerful lesson. Because God will judge all the people, no matter who they are or what he's done for them in the past. So let's take a look now at Amos 9, 7 and start there. And God says, are you not like the children of the Cushites to me, B'nai Israel? It is a declaration of Adonai. Did I not bring Israel up from the land of Egypt, the Philistines from Kaphtor, and Aram from Kir? Listen to what he says. Israel, I've done good for you, just like I did for the Philistines, just like I did for the Philistines, and just like I did for Aram. But look what happened to them. So here's two other examples of who the Lord did good for. He brought them out of tribulation into a land that was supposed to be for them. But they were not holy to the Lord. They did not live right. And here's the warning for Israel and for us today. Be holy, for I am holy. I took them and planted them, and then I uprooted them because they weren't holy. And I'll do it to you too. So let's go on a little bit further in our Haftorah portion. Let's read Amos 9, 8 through 10. Behold, the eyes of my Lord Adonai are on a sinful kingdom, so I will utterly destroy it from the face of the earth. Nevertheless, I will not annihilate the house of Jacob. It is a declaration of Adonai. For behold, I have commanded, and I will shake the house of Israel among the nations, like grain being tossed in a sieve, without a pebble falling to the ground. By the sword shall all the sinners of my people die, those who say, the calamity will not overtake or confront us. We would love to say he's warning the other peoples, not us. We would love to say that calamity is coming to these other lands because they don't fear God like we do. But here's a warning. It can happen to you too. Here's the warning, is that it will happen. In fact, he's quite plain about it in here. He says, I will annihilate the house of Jacob. How sad. How sad. Not only did he say it, he did it. He says he's going to shake them like a sieve, so not a pebble will fall. Can you picture that? He's shaking them so that the sinful people will stay in the sieve. The grain falls to the ground and is gathered. The good is falls to the ground and is gathered, so they will not be intermixed any longer. So that he could use the good grain that's sieved, that goes through the sieve, but not the pebble that stays in the sieve. It wasn't just a warning when we look back on it. It was a promise that for those who were not holy to the Lord, they would be sieved out. And we see it. History proves it out. Israel broke into two nations, Israel and Judah, the northern and southern tribes. Where are our northern tribes today? They aren't any longer. Where are our people from our 10 tribes? They were sinful. And the only reason Judah, the southern tribes, didn't also go in the same way is because God is faithful. He's promised David a remnant, that there will be a remnant of his people, and he will bless them. Let's drop down to Amos 9:13. Behold, days are coming, are soon coming. It is a declaration of Adonai. When the plowman will overtake the reaper, and the one treading grapes, and the one sowing seed. The mountains will drip sweet wine, and all the hills will melt. We just had this horrible word. It's not a horrible word. It's a horrible warning for our people. But he follows it up with a great promise. The plowman will overtake the reaper. Can you picture that? We're not in that agricultural society, so we don't always see that. But what's going to happen is the ones who are picking grapes and reaping the fields, right behind them, there's so much of it that right behind them, the one who's plowing it under so that new stuff can be planted is going to catch up to them. That's the blessing of our God. He's promised it to us. But he's promised it to us if we are holy as he is holy. So we, as that remnant, need to maintain our holiness. We, as his people, need to keep going in the right direction. So let me sum up this Torah portion. Going back to the beginning of our Torah portion, Leviticus 19:1. Leviticus 19:1 and 2. Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of Bnei Israel and tell them, you shall be Keshodim, for I, Adonai, your God, am holy. Now, before this, in all of Leviticus, we're hearing all these commandments of the Lord, all these things to do, and most of it is all for the priests and the Levites. But now it's different. Now he says, speak to all of Bnei Israel. Speak to the people. It's different. Now it's all of us. Now it's us. He says, tell all the congregation. Okay, we're listening. What are we listening to? Leviticus 19:18, let's go down to. You are not to take vengeance nor bear any grudges against the children of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am Adonai. Sounds familiar? Do we not say that every day? Every Shabbat? Ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Love your neighbor as yourself. It is his commandment. And then let's go down just a little bit further, Leviticus 20:26. You are to be holy to me, for I am Adonai am holy, and have set you apart from the peoples, so that you would be mine. So here's the summary. Tell everybody in the congregation to love your neighbor as yourself, so that you'll be set apart to be mine. And isn't that what Yeshua said were the sum of all commandments? First, love your God, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And here it is, right here in Leviticus 19, summing it all up. Love it. Tell everybody, love, so that you can be set apart. Because once you love, you'll be holy. And it's not that, I'm not saying that's the only thing you have to do, but it's the most important thing you can do. So God tells us that we'll be set apart. So why does he have to tell us to be holy as well? If he tells us we're going to be set apart, why do we have to worry about being holy? Because we, like sheep, have gone astray, right? We all want to just kind of wander around, unfortunately. We look out into the world, and they just want to wander their own way. They all want to look for that fun, exciting thing. And they all think, commandments? Laws? That doesn't sound fun to me. But they're thinking of it the wrong way. These are commandments and laws that set us free. They're not commandments and laws that restrict us to servitude. It's throwing off the yoke of the world, because his yoke is light and easy. Ezekiel 36:6. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill, over all the face of the earth. My sheep were scattered. No one searched, no one sought. He searched, he sought, he kept a remnant. That's who we are. That's why we need to be told to be holy, so that we can walk his path. We wandered away. We sinned by going to places we were not meant to walk. We walked off the path of God. I did for 30 years of my life. Walked around wherever I wanted to walk. Praise God, he came after me, because it wasn't me who came after him first. Praise God, he's come after you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. But God doesn't want just rule followers. He wants holy God followers. Right? You can follow the rules and still have that hard attitude. That's not right. That's not holy. We need to be those God followers. Because when we come to God, originally we come to God as we are. And Adonai leads us and starts our walk. So we start learning his ways. And after we start to learn his ways, then we begin to learn how to be holy. And then we learn that heart attitude that truly will please him. that heart attitude of true holiness and godliness. The heart attitude that turns us more like Him and less like our old self. And that's where we need to go. Being separate from sin is more than the do's and don'ts. It's the whys. It's the love your neighbor as yourself. It's the be holy, for I am holy. If we can get that into our hearts, deep into us, we will be there. We will get there. Leviticus 19:5-8 gives us a word to follow. So let's take a look there. Leviticus 19:5-8. When you bring a sacrifice of fellowship offering to Adonai, you are to offer it so that you may be accepted. It is to be eaten the same day you offer it and the next day. But if anything remains until the third day, it's to be burned with fire. If it is eaten at all on the third day, it is disgusting. Blech! It will not be accepted. Rather, anyone who eats it will bear his iniquity, since he has profaned what is holy to Adonai, and that soul will be cut off from his people. What a strange thing. You make your sacrifice, and the first day you eat it. And the second day, you can eat it. The third day, all of a sudden, it's no go. You don't eat it anymore. So what are we supposed to learn from that? And here's what I would say to you. Once you start running the race, finish the race. Don't stop in the middle. Being holy for a day doesn't make you holy forever. He tells you how to start the first day, sacrifice and eat. He tells you how to continue, second day, you can eat it. He tells you what to do on the third day, stop eating it. What you did before doesn't make it okay now. What you did back then, even though it was what I told you to do, doesn't mean you should be continuing to do it now. There's a season for everything. And it sounds strange. What can I say? It sounds strange. But this is God. He tells you what to do. He tells you when to do it. And He'll tell you when to stop doing it. For this sacrifice, there was a time to eat and there was a time to stop eating it. And stop eating it was the holy thing to do. And we need to keep running the race. Don't stop prematurely. Don't keep going because you like it. Go because God told you to go. Here's what I would say to you about coming to Karen Orr. Don't keep coming because it's a habit to come. Come because it's the place to meet God on Shabbat, to enter into His presence a little more closely, to fellowship with those who worship the same way, and not because it's a habit. The hard attitude of someone who's coming because it's habitual is not pleasing to the Lord. If you're coming because it's habitual, you need to sit yourself down and ask, why am I doing this anymore? And God, what do you have for me? And as much as I don't want to see you leave, is there another place that I can be fed better? I don't think you can. And it's not because of me. If God brought you here, maybe it was for a season, but it was probably for a purpose. Maybe it was for a season. Maybe you've wandered a little. And we all have to do that check every once in a while, including myself. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing now? Or am I eating an old sacrifice that should have been burnt up? Am I doing what's right now? Every one of us has to ask that same question every day. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing right now, right here, for my God? Or am I doing just what's comfortable? I knew it tasted good then. I'll just keep eating it. But God's telling you to move on. So, in this world, we change our tastes. We don't listen to the same music we used to listen to. We don't dress the same way we used to dress. And we don't take the same actions we used to take. It's a sign of maturity in the Lord. And we need to check ourselves. Matthew 24:12-13. All of a sudden, I feel like a teenager again. My voice is going up and down. Matthew 24:12-13. Because lawlessness will multiply, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. That's what we need to do. Check ourselves and make sure that our love hasn't grown cold. We need to check to make sure we're still running to the end of the race. This is not the end of the race. This is not where we're called to be when we're done. So let's go back to the Torah portion, Leviticus 19:19. Let's see what it says. You must keep my statutes. You are not to crossbreed different kinds of animals. You are not to sow your field with two kinds of seed. You are to wear a garment woven of two different kinds of material. Sounds pretty straightforward. Don't. But don't what? What's it really saying? Don't mix two things together. And for us, don't mix your godliness with the world. Don't have a foot in his kingdom and a foot in the world. Now, am I telling you to separate yourself from the world? No. Because if you separate yourself from the world, how are you going to reach a lost and dying world? What you do is you keep yourself from becoming a part of the world again. You don't weave yourself to the world again. You were that way at one time. We all were that way one time. But we don't weave ourselves into the world and let the world become part of us again. He has separated us already. Let's not wander back and be rewoven into the world. We need to keep that walk, his walk, straight. Leviticus 20, verse 8. You are to keep my statutes and do them. I am Adonai who sanctifies you. Does this sound familiar over and over again in this scripture? Be holy, for I am holy. Do my statutes, for I am God. Do my statutes, because I sanctify you. Continue your walk to the end. We're called not only to worship and sacrifice no other gods, but to worship Adonai in spirit and in truth. It is the way that we're to walk. And John 4:24 is my final scripture verse. Says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. True worshipers are those who are wholehearted in following after God. Being in the spirit means just as God is in the spirit, walking out your life as he would have you walk it out. As he walked when he was here on the earth as Messiah Yeshua. Now, we can't be as he was. Can't be that perfect Messiah. We're not called to be perfect. Never going to be perfect. But we walk in a path that leads us towards that goal. How do we walk it? Love your neighbor as yourself. Follow my commandments, he tells us. He gives us the directions. He's laid out the map for us. All we need to do is follow through. Boy, that sounds easy. All we need to do is follow through. Hey. Okay, that's it. We're done. But it's not easy. The world pulls at us. Not only does the world pull at us, our own flesh pulls at us. Our own flesh is part of the world. Messiah's in me. But my flesh is on me. Boy, that's tough. Messiah's in me, but my sins are on me. I am fleshly. Praise God, he has the blood to cleanse us. And that is the good news. That is where we're walking towards. That is his promise to us. His promise to us is not what we have currently. His promise to us is the coming heaven. There are those who want to say that we have his promise already. And that's true. We have his promise already. But we don't have what the promise is promising us. The promise is promising us heaven. Look around, folks. This ain't it. But if we run the good race until the end, the promise is ours. So that's what we need to do. Father, we thank you that you have made a promise that is trustworthy and true. Father, we thank you that we can trust in you and we can trust in your promise. We thank you that you've given us everything we needed in your word, which points to everything we need in your Ruach HaKodesh within us. Father, we just want to take this time today on this Shabbat to do like a gut check. Have I wandered? Ruach HaKodesh, look in my heart, for you know me better than I know me. Have I wandered? Ruach HaKodesh, I thank you that I can trust in you. For those on the live stream, thank you for joining Karen Orr today.